Father, as we open your word and look at this beautiful little passage that is talking about baby Jesus as an adult, I'm just so grateful that he matured as a human and that he demonstrated his love as he grew into adulthood. He always followed your will, Father, and we're just so wonderfully blessed to know him personally. We're so grateful, God, that you reached down into this world and said, I'm not going to let that keep happening, and you provided a way for escape like you always do. We're not tempted above what we're able to withstand because of you, Jesus, because of your goodness. Amen. Today's sermon is titled Healing, Solitude, and Preaching. It's three little things here as we're looking through the ministry of Jesus. His public ministry is kind of coming into full bore here. He'd gone back to his hometown Nazareth, and he was going to spend some time with people that were familiar with him, and they kind of wrote him off a little bit and just said, aren't you Joseph's boy? And you know, they're amazed at the things that they've heard about that he's doing, and they're trying to command him to do things for them, and he talks about a prophet not being welcome in his hometown, and he leaves and goes to Capernaum and kind of sets up a new home base. He's gone about preaching and teaching and doing a lot of different things, and as we come to today's passage, Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44, 38 and 39, the first two verses kind of are our unit here. He got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and served them. Kind of an interesting little thing here. A lot of side stories in this. First of all, Simon is another name for Peter, so he's going with a number of the disciples. They show up at Peter's house, and it mentions a mother-in-law. That tells you something about Peter, doesn't it? He was married, at least at one point. And this is a household. Households oftentimes had multiple generations in them. And so in this particular case, Peter, and we're going to find out that it wasn't just Peter, so we're going to look at the Matthew passage and the Mark passage. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what they call the synoptic gospels. Sin being same, like synonym, all that kind of thing. And then optic is what you're looking at. So you're seeing the same thing here as you look at these three Gospels. John is quite a different view. John is the disciple that Jesus loved, and he writes from a different perspective, but it's all the same. We have four eyewitness accounts. Luke wasn't an eyewitness, but he interviewed a lot of eyewitnesses as he came up with his Luke Acts documents that he was preparing for Theophilus. And so we see that as we look in Scripture, it's not like just one person telling the story. There's a whole bunch of different accounts of the same stories. So we flip here to Matthew chapter 8. If you want to follow along, you can probably find it quicker than I could tell you, but it's also up on the screen. Matthew 8, it's going to be on page 1,556 in the Pew Bibles. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. So that's the same story told a little teeny bit differently, but you know, you got Peter's mother-in-law here, and Jesus shows up. Now, the beautiful thing about Jesus, he wasn't your typical healer that wanted to do everything for show. It seems like a lot of healers, you know, these days, people that would claim to have the gift of healing, and what they want to be on TV, or they want to be in a big tent, or they want to be somewhere where they can demonstrate this publicly. And more often than not, Jesus is just kind of privately doing something. You know, he sees some lepers as he's walking along, and he heals them. He goes into this home, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And we find that many of the stories, they're only told because these people that were hanging out and close to Jesus, they were able to see this. He wasn't trying to do a big campaign and publicly demonstrate. Now, a lot of stuff did happen in public, and oftentimes, you know, that was when the religious people would get upset with them and try to throw them off a cliff or drag them out of town or yell at them, and, you know, and they would have all of these disputes because he wasn't like the rest of them. He wasn't the religious status quo. He was different. Every place he showed up, he ministered differently. When we look at Mark, the same one. Now, Mark jumps right into stuff. So you're going to find this early on in Mark, Mark chapter 1, and starting in verse 29, page 1603 in the Pew Bible. Immediately after they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So we know that at least those four disciples went into the house. The house of Simon and Andrew. Now, Simon and Andrew are brothers. So these brothers are hanging out together, but it's not like their mom that's here. It's the mother-in-law of Peter. So it sounds like there were a number of different families that kind of blended together here. And this is one of the places that we find them going in Scripture quite often. Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. They immediately spoke to Jesus about her. So Matthew was like, Jesus saw her and healed her. And both Luke and Mark talk about how they requested that Jesus do something. He came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she served them. It's interesting, you know, again, that immediately she was healed. Immediately she jumped up and started serving them. I don't think that's why Jesus healed her. It's like, yeah, I want lunch, woman, you know. It's like, you know, he kneels down and takes her by the hand. He has compassion for her. I'm sure Jesus knows her. They've spent time together, and they've crossed paths before, and this is not their first meeting. Sometimes he was healing strangers. It was their first meeting. They never proclaimed Christ. They didn't even demonstrate any kind of interest in following Christ. He just would heal them. As we're loving people in the community, we don't need to get something back from them in exchange. We just need to love them. That's the model that Jesus continually shows us, is that he sees people, they have a need, he helps them meet that need, and he loves them. Jumping back to Luke and verse 40. Now, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. This is the sun setting on Sabbath. They had been at the synagogue that day. They immediately from the synagogue had gone to Peter and Andrew's house, this family household. And there were a lot of rules that you couldn't do certain things. You couldn't travel so far. You couldn't lift anything. Well, if you're bringing your sick people to Jesus, you don't want to do that on a Sabbath. Oftentimes when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, that's when he got religious people upset with him. Religious people wouldn't have tried to approach him for a healing on the Sabbath, but sun's setting, Sabbath is over. That's how they determined their Sabbath day. So as the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, brought them to Jesus, and he was laying his hands on each one of them and healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God," and yet he was rebuking them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Jesus didn't need the witness of the demons. He was going to demonstrate who he was through his actions, through his words, and by his ultimate action of going to the cross to die for us. This would have been quite the scene. I mean, you've got this town, this whole area is hearing about Jesus. They'd heard that he was at the synagogue. I'm sure that people would have seen him there, and they're wanting to go to him. They're wanting to get the people that they know that need healing. They want to bring them to Jesus, and they wait until sun's starting to go down, and then they just show up. He's had a long day. He's had a long period of ministry, as we've read through the book of Luke here. And I'm sure that he's getting tired. And here Jesus sees this group that just keeps on showing up to Peter's house. Now, probably was a pretty well-known house. I'm guessing that Peter and Andrew and the mother-in-law, and I don't know about the rest of them, the whole household would have been a kind of a, a guiding light, a shining light in that community, and people would come, and here they are, they're showing up. This mother-in-law that got up to serve Jesus, she's probably making extra food too now for all these people that are coming. We've got some people in this little congregation that are full of hospitality. When people show up, they find a way to serve, and we appreciate that. And it's just, this was one of those salt of the earth women that just what was there. And Jesus, I'm guessing he was probably hoping that the day was over and he could take some rest. People kept showing up, and he's laying hands on them and healing them, and it continues to do that. This same little short snippet of a story you'll find in Matthew also, Matthew 8, so go back to where you were in Matthew. Now when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were ill. This happened so that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet would be fulfilled. He himself took our illnesses and carried away our diseases. That's from Isaiah 53:4. I love that Old Testament, New Testament really ties together. Every time I start seeing these little bits of evidence from the authors of the New Testament that they're referring to something in the Old Testament, it reminds me of that time after the resurrection of Jesus when he's walking along the road to Emmaus and he's got a couple disciples with him and he's explaining to them and opening up all of the scriptures, and at that time the Hebrew Bible would have been our Old Testament. He's opening that up and explaining to them how it's about him. And here some of the authors will allude to certain things, but there's even more. As you look through Old Testament scripture, you're going to find so many clues and things that we can know looking back at it that they might not have really understood looking forward. Because a lot of those prophecies from Isaiah and others, that they had a present day manifestation of the prophecy, but then it also was a later one with Jesus. And this one gets tied to him. He himself took our illnesses and carried away our diseases. Peter talks about it in his epistle, by his stripes we are healed. And we know that Jesus is a healer. We've got a lot of friends that are suffering, sickness, illness, whatnot. Many of you know the lady across the street. And she was so excited this week as she went in for her blood test. She got a report that there was zero evidence of cancer. She's not finished with the chemo. She's got more treatment to do, but zero evidence of cancer. And she's like, yeah, that's not a word she'd heard for a lot of months. And yay, people are praying for her, and she knows it. And she's thankful. And good things are happening. Many of you know others that are diseased and ill. And God is still a healer. And every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father above, we know that we can give him glory for all of the good healing. Some of us don't even know we've been healed because we didn't know we were sick. I love that. When I look at my siblings, I had four brothers and four sisters. Now I've got three brothers, three sisters, and two of them have tried to race us into heaven. But we'll catch up. But I look at my siblings are all suffering from something, it seems like, except Angie. Yeah, she's tough, strong gal, beautiful young lady that is a bricklayer. She's helped build some of the large structures in Seattle, like the Lumen Field and things like that. And she's gotten around quite a bit, done a lot of hard work. She's very healthy. The rest of my family, though, they're all struggling different ways. And Kathy and I were just remarking about how blessed we are that at this time we've got our health. And you never know when that's going to turn. And thankfulness, an attitude of gratefulness to God for every breath that we get to take, every time that we're able to go to the doctor and have her tell me that you're pleasantly healthy. It's like, okay, thank you. I like to hear that. And then, if we can continue to move, that motion is lotion. And we've got the opportunity, as we are healthy, to continue to do. And the people that I've seen that live the longest are doers. Kathy's mom, many others, you know, that they get into their 90s, it's like when they pass, it's usually their work was done and they sat down and took a breath to relax, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And it's like, just keep on moving, keep on going, as long as God gives you breath, as long as He gives you purpose, just enjoy it and do it. In this particular case, though, as we're reading, we can do the Mark passage from this. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to Him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door, and He healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who He was. I'm going to jump back to the Luke section of this. As we look at what Dr. Luke says, while the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases brought them to Him, and He was laying hands on each one of them and healing them. Demons also came, were coming out of many shouting. And so here we have a learned physician, Dr. Luke, it is saying that there is such a thing as demons. And he's alluded to this spiritual battle. He's talked about angels coming and announcing the birth of John, the birth of Jesus. He's talked about Holy Spirit. And this is a doctor that knows the difference between someone that's sick and being healed and someone that's demon-possessed and having that demon removed. And there's different types of battle. There's different types of illness. I think if we went out onto the streets of any large city and some of the small towns too, but the homeless population right now, the way our nation has progressed, the mentally ill and the drug and alcohol abused individuals that are mixed in with this homeless population, there's physical illness, but there's also probably some spiritual things going on with many of them. And as we approach people in life, you know, let's be aware and in prayer and recognize that if God leads you to a particular person and they've got a particular ailment or illness, and He can lead you into how to deal with that, how to pray, how to approach whatever it is that you've been in touch with. And many of us, even family members, as we recognize, you know, Scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If we're angry with our family members, if we're angry with neighbors or friends, people that used to be friends and now we consider them enemies, oftentimes it's a spiritual battle that is taking place under the surface. And it's like a lot of times when people are complaining to you, the words they're saying really aren't what they're upset about. There's something else going on. And if we can get to that next level through prayer, through recognition that God knows our very inward thoughts, our hearts, and He knows theirs as well, and he can help us to have discernment and know how to have a word that's aptly spoken. It's like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's something beautiful that we can do. Promises that His word won't return to Him void. And so just knowing the word, teaching the word, preaching the word, but being living the word, being doers and not just hearers, we can have an impact on the people around us. And I love that God doesn't lay that on us as a burden, but as a blessing, as an opportunity. So I believe that Dr. Luke is a great example of what you can be educated and continue to know the things of God. You can recognize that Scripture is true, that God's Word is true, and still be educated. It's not either or. And he brings his learnedness, his historian tendencies, his education into his writings here in Luke and in Acts, and he also is able to recognize that there's a spirit world that is real, and we don't have to pretend that we can only talk about what we can see. There's a lot of unknown. next verse there in Luke chapter 4. Now, when day came, so Jesus has been healing people probably most of the night. And he would have been tired before all of this stream of people, this long line outside the door of Peter and Andrew and the mother-in-law's house. And he would have definitely been tired after all of this was over. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. We read that often in Scripture. If the Creator God of the universe needed time away in solitude and rest, don't think that we can keep on going and not have consequences. We need to find a way to step back, and we need to find a way to get alone and rest. That may be harder to do now in this day and age we live in. How many of us, when we go off somewhere to be alone, we bring our technology with us? And it's like you're doing fine until your leg starts buzzing, or your phone dings, or somebody's trying to get in contact with you. One beautiful thing about living up in the mountains here, there's a lot of dead space. And we can go someplace, and even if we brought our phone, it's useless. And so that's kind of nice. But it's great to know that Jesus set the example here. You know, day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. The crowds were searching for him. They're not done with him. But he's gone to find a secluded place. They found him. There's probably not that many places to hide. And they came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. It's like, come on, this has been a beautiful gig you've got going here. You're healing all of us. And I know that somebody's going to get sick again tomorrow, and we might need you again. So could you just stay around? But he said to them, I must also preach the kingdom of God to the other cities, because I was sent for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea, so all of Galilee and the surrounding areas. Jesus knew what his purpose was. He came to heal, of course. That was part of it. And I think, you know, the people that he fed when he's feeding the 5,000, they came looking for him. Why? Because they wanted more food. They've seen him do all these healings, and they're looking for him because they want more healing. But do they want who he really is? Do they want to carry the cross with him? Do they want to suffer with him? Do they want to be fully connected to Jesus? Or do they just like the perks that they're getting from him? It's like, okay, here's like, I found the lamp. I'm going to rub it, and maybe the genie will come out and give me my three wishes. And it's like, too often, Jesus is misunderstood. And his real purpose was to preach the word. And he would go from synagogue to synagogue, and he would preach. And so the ministry of Jesus, the healing, of course, the solitude, which would help him stay strong and would help him stay focused. Without his time with the Father, and as we look through Scripture, oftentimes when it mentions that he's gone into a quiet place to have time with the Father, his solitude time. We need that. How many of us, when we even go into solitude, oftentimes we, like I say, we bring our technology with us, but we bring our worries and our thoughts, and we're all over the place, and we're not focused on the Creator. We're not focused on the Father. And you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you just look up. Now, around here, that means God's glory is in the clouds. Okay. Oftentimes when we look up to the heavens, that's all we see is clouds. And I've always felt like I'm in the perfect place, because the promise in Scripture is that God is going to return to us in the clouds. And it's like, we've got a better chance here than you do in Florida or Arizona or some of these crazy places that they want to do sun worship. And it's like, no, I want to worship the S-O-N sun. And we're in the clouds. He's going to come back for us in the clouds. So this is a perfect place. His mission was to preach, and as he stayed in focus with the Father, again we read through Scripture that he only did what the Father told him to do. And I think many of us, if we'd been, you know, there's crowds that are following us around saying, hey, you're so wonderful, why don't you just stay with us? Proverbs talks about man is tested by the praise he receives. Jesus was receiving some praise from demons. They kept coming out and saying, oh, you're the... And he's like, no, shut up. I don't want to hear from you. The crowds would come and say, please, please stay with us. We love your ministry. We'd like to set up a special place for you here. And he's like, I've got a job to do. And the Father gave him a purpose, and he followed through on that purpose. And as he continues through the story, there's a few places where it's like something was going to happen, but the time hadn't come yet. And then we get to the point where he's in the garden, and the time had come. And he turns himself over to the officials, knowing that he's going to the cross to be separated from the Father, to carry and bear our sins. And that time came. And that's what the purpose of his being here on earth. He came to dwell among us, to live among us, but also to die for us, to be risen again, and to go back into heaven and send Holy Spirit so that we can all be united. That great banquet that we look forward to, that I can't imagine what's going to be at that meal when we get to hang out with Jesus. I've had some really good meals during my life, as some of you can tell. He's going to have the fellowship. Oftentimes the meal is not so much necessarily what you're eating, but it's the people you're hanging out with. And we get both. I'm sure that it's going to be the most remarkable, delicious food that we've ever tasted with the Father, with all of our loved ones. And God, we're so grateful as we turn to you, we look to you, we know, Lord Jesus, that you are the one, that we can lean on you, that we can trust in you, we can know fully that we are secure in your love, that you're never going to let us get outside of your grasp. You won't leave us or forsake us, and you won't allow us to fall away. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace.